The first petition, hallowed be thy name. What does this mean?
God's name is certainly holy in itself, but we pray that his petition may be kept holy among us all.
How is God's name kept holy?
God's name is kept holy, for God is true and pure, and we as the children of God also lead holy lives according to it. Help us to do this to your Father in heaven. But anyone who teaches or lives contrary to God's word profanes the name of God among us. Protect us from this heavenly God.
A breath of fresh air. That saying seems to have originated in the Industrial Revolution when smoke from factories and foundries choked the air. We all know that a slight breeze can be a breath of fresh air on a hot day. Same thing with the salt air. As you drive down below New Orleans, there's a point where the fetid swamp smell gives way to salt air. We need such breaths of fresh air in life. We need a breath of holiness to pray. Even Jesus, in his state of humiliation, that's when he didn't always use his full divine power as a man, needed these breaths of holiness. Notice in the gospel how many times Jesus slips off privately to pray. He withdrew from men to take a few breaths of the air of eternity. Sinners such as us surely need a breath of holiness. You sure about that? Holiness is just not the absence of sin, but it's where sin cannot exist. It's the fire of God that consumes sin and sinners instantly. That's what happens to sinners in the presence of holiness. A breath of holiness is a breath of chlorine gas to a sinner. It's anything but fresh, reinvigorating, or comforting. We actually see what it's like in the New Testament. Remember, demons encountering Jesus, even in his state of humiliation, where his divine powers are veiled, even then they recognize him. And what do? Listen as Luke records one. In the synagogue, there was a man who was possessed by the spirit of an unclean demon. He cried out with a loud voice, "Leave us alone. What do you have to do with us, Jesus the Nazarene? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." When God's holiness encounters sin or sinners, it's like water in the Wicked Witch of the West. It's like vampires in sunlight. How can we take a breath of holiness praying, "Holy be thy name," when we profane it so much? Whenever, wherever we teach or live contrary to God's word, we're profaning his name. The Hebrews 12 reading, it doesn't really say Esau is godless, but literally he's profane. "Let there be no fornicator or profane person like Esau, for one morsel of food sold his birthright." He treated something divine and holy as ordinary. Or how about Nadab and Abihu, two of the first priests in the Old Testament church? They were part of the leaders who saw the God of Israel, but God did not raise his hand against these leaders of the Israelites. They saw God and they ate and drank. Now, skip to Leviticus 10. Quote, "Nadab and Abihu took their censers, put fire in them, and added incense. And then he offered unauthorized fire before the Lord. So fire came out from the presence of the Lord and consumed them, and they died before the Lord." You come in contact with holiness and you treat it as ordinary, and you're guilty of profanity. You're the Nazis in Raiders of the Lost Ark, who dared look inside it. Such profanity got their faces melted. Well, we can't look into the Old Testament ark. We don't have a birthright to sell or strange fire to offer to the Lord. So what does our profaning of his name look like? Well, it's your OMGs. It's your treating the three holies of God, holy baptism, holy absolution, holy communion, as plain water, words, bread, wine. It's your appeals to luck, chance, fate, or coincidence. How many times you begin sentences to me with luckily, or by chance, or coincidentally. Crediting these is profaning the God who reveals himself to be all-powerful, all-knowing, and all-present. And he's the counter of hares and the keeper of sparrows. Read 2 Chronicles 16. King Asa was afflicted with a disease in his feet. Though his disease was severe, even in his illness, he didn't seek help from the Lord, but only from the physicians. Thus says the Lord. Read 2 Kings chapter 1. King Ahaziah fell and was injured. So he sent slaves, quote, "Go and consult Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron, to see if I'll recover from this injury." But Elijah meets them on the way and he says, "Is it because there's no God in Israel that you're consulting the god of Ekron? Go to your doctors, take your vitamins, take your preventatives, get your vaccines, wear your masks. But do we do so because there's no God among us? Do we consult the gods of science, medicine, internet, and politicians more than we do, or even before we do, the true God in Christ? If we trust in those, in them, more than in the name of our God and Savior, then we're not keeping his name holy among us, but profaning it. And therefore, his holiness burns, melts, and torments us. Thanks be to God, then, that God's name is certainly holy in itself. No, not in the sense of the tetragrammaton, that's the four-letter name of God in Hebrew, YHWH, Yahweh, so holy to Jews they wouldn't pronounce it, and it was thought by some of them to have magical powers. Neither is his name holy in the sense the Masonic Lodge says, secret or incommunicable. Go to Isaiah chapter 6 and see there the six-winged seraphim flying about the throne room of God, calling out to each other, "Holy, holy, holy, the Lord of armies." Then go ahead and go into heaven's throne room in Revelation chapter 4, and you're going to see the four living creatures, also with six wings, but covered with eyes. And they're crying day and night. They never stop saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." This is where we go when we sing the Gloria in Excelsis and the Sanctus. This is where we lift our hearts to in the proper preface. This is where we go to in the Te Deum. And we profane his holy name when worries in our name, worries about our name, or any other name on earth trumps God's holy name and so stifle our prayers. Why pray to such a powerless, careless, absent God? Profanity undid Isaiah and Samson's parents too. Isaiah says, this is in the throne room, "Woe to me, I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the Lord Almighty." Samson's dad says, "We are doomed to die. We have seen God." Well, breathing in the holy God, that's far more intimate, far more immediate, far more intense than seeing or hearing him. It's snorting him. It's mainlining him. It's absolutely deadly to sinners such as us, particularly we who think God should do what we want, when we want, where we want, and how we want, or he is no God to us. How blasphemous. How profane. How can I inhale the holiness of God's name so necessary to prayer when I have so often and deeply profaned it? I can't. Unless our dear Heavenly Father helps and protects us. Did you notice the exclamation marks in the explanation after "help us to do this, dear Father in heaven"? and protect us from this Heavenly Father. Well, they are there in the original German and Latin, but somehow they're not in the 1921 English translation. They should be there, for they betray the intensity with which we're praying that we can't benefit from a breath of holiness without God's help and protection. I'm thinking of the 2018 movie Titan. Earth has become uninhabitable. One of Saturn's moons, Titan, is, except for the nitrogen and methane air, which can't be breathed by humans. Scientists genetically modify volunteers, and by having them gradually breathe that air, they are transformed. Well, in the movie, there's a big downside, but it illustrates that God helps and protects us from profaning his holy name by transforming us. Start with the versicle in response from the Orthodox Communion liturgy. The priest invites the communicant saying, "The holy gifts for the holy people of God." Now, the response of the people is not, "Well, that would be us." No, the response is, "One is holy, one is Lord, Jesus Christ, and the glory of God the Father. Amen." Our response to the holiness of God's person and name, our response to his command, "You shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy," our response is, "It ain't me, but Jesus." Didn't you hear that in that last reading? So, the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. He's the Holy One. We're the unholy ones. Don't you sing this, or maybe you don't mean it when you do. Don't you sing, "Just and holy is thy name. I am all unrighteousness. False and full of sin I am. I must become different than I am if I'm going to breathe in holiness to my benefit and in turn exhale prayer." We say how this happens in our explanation. God's name is kept holy when the word of God is taught in its truth and purity, and we, as the children of God, also lead holy lives according to it. So, how's that working out for you so far? The word of God, that's the key thing. But if it's his word in our hands, my mouth, your ears, our life, well, we're toast. If, as Isaiah 64:6 says, all our righteous acts, that's all our good deeds, that's all our truth and purity and word and life, they are nothing but filthy rags. Well, then breathing God's holiness can't start with us repenting and being more determined to teach his word in truth and purity and lead holy lives according to it. No, 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 it must start with the word made flesh, Jesus Christ. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. The holy God and the person of God the Son took on our flesh and blood to live a holy life in our place and sacrifice himself to protect us from God's wrath that even now is revealed against all unholiness. You can't take a breath of heaven, of God, of holiness directly, but it's safe for sinners' consumption in holy baptism, holy absolution, and holy communion. That's why it's such a very big deal to profane these apparently earthly things. That's why we say baptism is not simple water only. That's why we say we receive absolution from the pastor as from God himself. Then that's why bodily eating and drinking of communion does such great things, because God's word says it's Jesus' body and blood given and shed for you. In the three holies is where God is helping you teach and live his word correctly. In the three holies is where he is protecting us from profaning his name. In the three holies is where he is transforming you to breathe the holy air of heaven. In fact, in these three are all the answers to all the prayers you ever have prayed or will pray. You deny not only his help and protection, but the answers to your prayers when you stay away from these three, not use them. not trust in them. Now, all I can do to help you is to be here, continually preaching, teaching, and administering the holiness of God. Think that's a downer of a place to end? I'm not saying what you think I'm saying. In the Lord's Prayer, there is not a single petition that asks God to make me a sanctified, devout, believing man. There is not a single petition that asks him to help me progress in sanctification. The Lord's Prayer is about getting his gifts. Holy gifts from the Holy One are the breath of fresh air that enable us to pray. Amen.